I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show on CBS Audio Network, and it's a pleasure to welcome Vince Bielski of Real Clear Politics, an investigative reporter, who takes us to front lines of green energy jobs. You hear the president and his counselors speaking of green energy jobs. The ambition of the Biden-Harris administration is to transform America's electricity from the mix now of renewables and fossil fuels and nuclear energy to all renewables by the year 2035. 2035, that's tomorrow. So what is to be done? Something needs to be done with the unions who are anxious about this transformation. Union leadership is voicing that concern this way. Terry O'Sullivan, general president of the labor union in charge of many of these green energy jobs. We are very concerned about public policy that invests in renewable energy without provisions to ensure that workers earn good family-supporting wages with benefits. Vince, your investigation is those workers in America. I want to start with a generalization. Are the jobs there? Are they increasing rapidly? Is the president's vision of transforming by 2035 all electricity from renewables in America, is that underway? Good evening to you, Vince.
Good evening, John. It is underway, and it's going to speed up. The United States will see a big increasing rollout of wind and solar power. And just to make sure your listeners are aware, we still will have gas plants. We still will have nuclear facilities. What's going away in the mix will be coal. Coal-fired power plants are currently disappearing and will continue to disappear. And that brings us to the important question of the workforce. The workforce in the fossil fuel industry generally had good-paying middle-class jobs that they could raise a family on. And those are many of those jobs, not all of them, but many of them are going away. And the new jobs being created, and here's the problem, they don't pay as well. They don't come with great benefits. They are scattershot. They require a lot of moving. The folks who are building today's wind and solar farms are a nomadic tribe of green workers who travel the country state to state, job to job, building these very important wind and solar farms that will power the generations to come. And the real point of my story is that this country needs to care about the middle class. It needs to care about middle class jobs. And we can prevent, or we can at least effort to prevent a whole class of middle class jobs from going away to be replaced by jobs that simply you can't feed a family on. And to do that, we have to be a little intentional about how our state regulators, how our county regulators, how our developers think about what they're doing. Right now, what they're doing is you get three or four fellas who know what they're doing. You call a temp agency to bring another 100 people over, and you say, okay, today we're building a wind farm, and they make mistakes. They don't always get it right. It takes longer than it should. There are cost overruns. That, in fact, is what happened in the story I report on. That's probably not the way that the United States should think about its energy future. You have to remember, without electricity, and Texas showed us what happens when their grid goes down, we're all in trouble. So as we plow forth into the bright future of renewable energy, we need to pay attention to what we're doing. And at this point, it's up to the Biden administration to try to get a handle on it. And labor unions are pressing him. And we just don't know now how it's going to work out. But what they want, and I'll end up with this, is something called a prevailing wage. What is a prevailing wage? Well, when we're driving on the highways and we see the workers putting in new highways and bridges and dams and building the big infrastructure of America, almost all of those people make what's called the prevailing wage, which is the average wage in the region where they're working. And that tends to be a fairly decent middle class wage. The green workers today don't make anywhere near that money. And so what the unions and the workers want is very, very akin to what you'll see, the men and women who are building the infrastructure of America. They say, let's apply that to our energy future, too.
You spoke to one worker who's been in the business several years. He dropped out of Southern Texas University. He's anonymous. We're not naming him, and that tells the deal. He has a wind job, and he likes the wind job, but he's stuck. His quote is, I love working in wind, but I need to get to the right company that will give me the opportunity to learn. He's making $25 an hour. He's stuck. Why does he want the job training, and where is the job training, Vince?
Well, job training is really important because it really can set you up for your career by learning a variety of skills that will transfer from related industries. And today, job training is done either by the biggest companies. So, for example, Vestas or General Electric, they're in the wind business, and they have training courses. And you go to the courses, and you get certified, and you can make some more money because of that and have more opportunity. But the problem is, and labor unions also run training programs and affiliation with state governments. And so it's available, but it's not enough of it isn't available. And the industry isn't really tapping into it because what they're doing is they're using the low cost temporary staffing agencies to pull a large number of workers who probably don't have the correct training and have to learn things on the job. So today, a lot of education is happening on the job as you go, and there's nothing wrong with that, except in a lot of these projects, there's too much to know, and you really need more basic formal training. So even the industry is saying we need to train people because the United States is planning to at least double, or if not that, triple the rate at which we're building wind and solar farms. Today, there are about 5,000 in the United States. In the next decade, there will be many thousands more. And the real question now is, are we going to have a workforce that is capable of building those, our energy future? And right now, we don't. And so it's kind of the last thing we've been looking at as an industry and as an economy. We've looked at the technology. We know how to make a solar panel and a wind turbine. We've looked at the financing. Governments have done some regulating. But the last piece that no one has looked at is who's going to do all the work. And that's where we are now.
Vince, safety. You report Renewable Energy Systems Americas, which is you identify as a big player, was fined because of safety violations. I'm looking at a photograph accompanying your story of a man dangling from a Coast Guard helicopter. These are very big towers. And if there's not job training, that means there is no safety to be had. Are the unions complaining about that to the White House?
They're complaining loudly to the White House and to Congress and whoever will hear this. You know, when you look at a windmill in the distance, it doesn't look like a scary thing. But in fact, putting it up is a very scary thing. They can be up to 600 feet in the air. This is a thick, heavy steel that's swinging around in high winds. And as you're a worker, you're attached to this big turbine tower and you're, you know, attaching piece after piece. So people have fallen to their death. I report in my story 8 fatalities from wind farm construction. And it's considered by OSHA to be among the most dangerous jobs on the planet. And so that's why we need people to pay a little more attention to safety as well as wages and as well as training. We're in early days now, but things are ramping up very quickly. And you really don't want to build an industry. Think about how the coal industry in the United States started. There were mines exploding. There were gun battles outside of mines. It was chaos. And it was dangerous, and it took decades, finally, to kind of figure out how to run an industry relatively rationally, and that's what has to happen now with the renewable energy business. It's new. Every day there's a new company that wants to build a wind farm or a solar farm because that's where the money is, and that's where capital goes, and that's very understandable. That's how our economy moves. But again, the big thing that we need to pay attention to now are the people actually doing the work.
Race to the bottom. That is what one union critic says, race to the bottom for construction costs. That's what the federal government's for, isn't it? To put in regulations and to observe what is going on. They do it in the fossil fuel industry. Good heavens. Why aren't they doing it in the renewable industry, or are they? And some people are just sneaking around. What is it, Vince?
Well, you know, on the state level, it varies state to state. States really set energy policy, a lot of energy policy. And so a state like Minnesota, here's an interesting story what happened in Minnesota, a big wind state. Minnesota. And as the state was approving them for construction, they were noticing that all the cars in the parking lot in the fields and the construction fields had license plates from Texas. And they noticed a roving nomadic crew of workers were building all the infrastructure in Minnesota. And the people that run Minnesota's government and the people in the unions in Minnesota didn't like this. They live in Minnesota. They should benefit from this construction. So the government got involved, and in this case, all it's really said to the developers is, show us that you're hiring locally, too. The developers started doing that, and all of a sudden, there was more oversight and construction, and the Minnesota rollout continues. In other states, that hasn't happened. In other states, it's more like the Wild West. And so that's where the federal government can and try to create standards, labor standards that everyone abides to. And you have to understand, these are not onerous rules that will ruin the industry. This industry is a fast-growing industry. It's essentially putting a few guardrails
right
up along the way to make sure that the bus doesn't go over the cliff. So that's what the labor unions are now asking for, and it's called a prevailing wage. And a prevailing wage, along with that, comes training and benefits and the creation of what this country needs is more middle-class employment.
Vince Bielski for Real Clear Investigations. He's an investigative reporter. Solar, it's early. We could imagine Clark Gable, Jimmy Cagney, and Spencer Tracy starring in the movie. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show on CBS Audio Network.